What's up, everybody? Thanks for tuning in to Fan Culture, the premiere episode. We're finally here. How's it feeling, Brandon?
It's been a long time coming.
Yeah,
let's just say that. It's been a long time coming. I'm definitely excited to start this project with one of my closest friends, one of my dearest friends. And I mean, every time we link, we're talking about sports.
Yeah. We've had some golden conversations, and
yes,
I've looked back and been like, man, we should have gotten that recorded. That was classic.
Yeah.
So now hopefully we have the opportunity to do that moving forward. We got a lot on the schedule for you guys for the first episode. We're talking about Odell Beckham to the Browns, AB to the Raiders,
man.
Russ and them crazy fans in Utah.
Man.
Got to talk about LeBron and the Lakers.
We got to talk about LeBron.
MVP race, free agency, just some of the crazy things going on this week. But first and foremost, we got to get into the NCAA tournament, a.k.a. the Duke Invitational.
March Madness is upon us.
So first things first, obviously we know Zion's back. We know Duke won the ACC tournament.
Yeah.
But first and foremost, who you got?
You already know who I have win it. And I don't know how we're a sleeper every year and we're in the NCAA finals four. I mean, when's the last time we wasn't in the Final Four? Or at least the Elite Eight, excuse me.
So if y'all don't know by now, he's talking about North Carolina. He's
a Tar Heels,
Tar Heel boy.
Tar Heels, man.
I'm a Duke Blue Devil by nature. I don't know why, but you know, Duke is what it is.
I don't know how we're friends, to be real.
So I know there's a lot of bets going on in Vegas where it's like Duke versus the field. And I'm rolling with Duke. I usually don't like to go with the super hype team going into the tournament because all eyes are on them. The pressure is on the players to show up and show out, and usually someone's not going to show up. But Duke is just something different this year. There are a lot of good teams in the mix. You know, you're talking North Carolina, you're talking Gonzaga, even though Gonzaga always chokes. Virginia up there, even though Virginia is in the same boat.
Kansas always chokes too.
Kansas always chokes. Kansas always chokes. But for some reason, Duke reminds me of the year that they won with Marvin Bagley, where they were a star-studded team, and they still pulled it off and won.
Marvin Bagley won?
Yeah, Marvin Bagley won. Marvin Bagley.
What year was that?
Oh, wait. Or am I thinking about a wrong year?
No,
Jahlil Okafor.
Yeah.
Jahlil Okafor,
yeah.
Not Marvin Bagley.
Tyus Jones.
Yeah, Tyus Jones, Jahlil Okafor.
How do I know this? And
You're obsessed with us. That's why you watch everything. No, but the Jahlil Okafor Duke team was a favorite. They were all hyped up, but they were one team that was actually worth the hype. And I think that this Duke team could be the same thing. No one has an answer for Zion, period. Yeah, what are you going to do? Try to play a zone? Syracuse tried to play zone against Duke, and Zion still got, 29-12 or something like that.
Well, the games that I've saw that they've struggled is when Zion, not necessarily Zion is struggling. RJ Barrett might be struggling, but, their supporting cast isn't putting in the work. Or they just play North Carolina. Either way, I've seen them. I mean, they're live. The pressure is on. Can they continue to have that consistency throughout the tournament, that intensity? They played they almost play like the Fab Five in a sense, where it's very, we here to entertain y'all. This ain't just who. We know y'all here to see us, so let's put on a show, which it's dope. I like it for the culture, but in North Carolina all day, and we get the job done. That's what I'm saying. That's just what I'm saying.
And I know there's always been this Duke hate over the years, and I completely understand it. I get it. I've never been the biggest Grayson Allen, J.J. Redick, Christian Laettner fan. But
all the white guys?
Right, all white guys. Yeah, shout out to the white guys for Duke.
Can we put Grant Hill in that?
Nah, man, I feel a type of way about Grant Hill.
Grant Hill.
While we on the top of Grant Hill, I feel like he gets way too much hate. I mean, he's just a...
Who gets more hate, Jay Will or Grant Hill?
Grant Hill. I feel like people actually like Jay Will, and that maybe that's more so because of his college basketball analysis now, but...
Jay Will will give you buckets, though.
Yeah. Nah,
I didn't know he was that nice until I went back and saw tape. And yeah. I can say that because if you nice, you nice.
Yeah,
I don't care.
There was a reason he was the number two overall pick. I really wish he never got in that whole situation with the motorcycle.
Yeah, that was unfortunate,
but,
for sure.
You know, still nonetheless, like he was something to deal with. But back to my Duke little tirade, if you want to call it. I feel like Duke is more enjoyable and there's a little less hate going in their direction now because Coach K said, you know, when it comes to one and dones, I'll take them. It used to be the, no, we want guys that want to stay here 3 to 4 years. We want the guys that no one really wanted at Michigan State, at North Carolina. But now it's like, I'll take dudes from Kansas, you know, that we're going to play for Kansas.
Well, a lot of people don't talk about the passing of the torch Kentucky did with John Calipari's program. That's how Coach K, I feel like, took the blueprint of Coach Calipari's, you know, one and done, young, tremendous talent, super entertaining, you know, the John Walls of the world, the, you know, DeMarcus Cousins of the world, the Eric Bledsoes of the world even, you know, and took that formula and just took it to another level because I don't even remember the last time, I mean, North Carolina took the number one, the number two, the number three, you know what I mean, recruit in the nation. And they're all playing at a high level. Cam Reddish. I mean, I'm bragging on the Duke Blue Devils.
Are you sure you don't want to change your pick?
No. I'm just saying, you're playing up to what you're ranked as.
Right.
Which, you know what I mean? It shouldn't be a surprise that they're playing this well. I'm just saying that they copied the blueprint of Kentucky Wildcats, but a lot of people don't talk about that. We win more championships, though, without number one overall picks or top 10 picks.
Yeah, just I mean, saying. When you really think about it, it's been a while since North Carolina has even had a lottery pick. The last person that got drafted super high that I can think of is, like, Marvin Williams. And that was around 2005, 2006.
Well, I would say the last player I would say was probably Marquis, but not a number one. I would say a top 10 pick. I think maybe he might have been number one. I think top three, though. Harrison Barnes.
Oh, yeah.
Harrison Barnes was just like...
He was a number six pick, I think.
In the NBA?
Number six. Yeah, the six or seven.
But coming out of high school.
Oh, coming out of high school. Oh, yeah, yeah. No, he was definitely Marquis.
Okay.
He had to have been top three.
Right.
Nationally when he went to UNC.
Okay. So that's the last player I can think of. But, I mean, it's a luxury to have top recruits every year. I heard we're supposed to be getting, what's his name? Plays for Oak Hill. His dad played in the NBA. Mm. I can't even think of his name right now. Cole Anthony.
Oh, yeah.
Which he's the number one point guard in the nation, I think, right now. So that'd be dope. I definitely like the way he plays. I don't know. He doesn't have Duke on his list of schools anymore. He has North Carolina, I think, Oregon, and maybe like one other school. But I think the last what I've heard, it was Oregon or North Carolina. So hopefully he can come because I think Kobe White's on his way out. Mm-hmm. But let's get back into the tournament. You said you have Duke to win it all.
So I got Duke to win it. They're in the easiest bracket, obviously being the number one overall
seed. That's no surprise.
I think Michigan State is the number two seed in that bracket. Michigan State's a tough team, though.
We already knew y'all was going to be number one, but how come y'all have, like, no challenge whatsoever?
Well, that's what they usually do for the number one overall seed. The only reason it doesn't get much credit or that it gets much attention is because the one seed usually ends up still choking at some point. I still remember that year where Virginia was the number one overall seed, and they lost in like the second round.
That was last year.
Yeah, that was just like last year or the year before, something like that.
Virginia.
The reason I never considered Virginia seriously is because they're always one of the top defensive teams in the nation, but they're one of the worst scoring teams in the nation as well.
Well, they have a formula, and I feel like the last ISO player that they had was Malcolm Brogdon.
I hated Malcolm Brogdon.
He could ice a game, and that's, I feel like he was highly slept on for because he went to Virginia and not Duke or North Carolina or wherever, like, you know, one and dones go.
And look what he's doing in the league now.
Yeah, he's an intricate piece of Milwaukee's offense and defense. He's 6'5", 2 something, you know what I mean? He's solid, you know what I mean? But yeah, he just underrated, I would say. But I would say, I don't know, Lehigh situation could happen to somebody.
Oh yeah.
I mean, there's always upset. There's always upset. I have them going as far as the Final Four. I don't know what happens then. I think you play us or you play somebody else. I think you play us.
Yeah.
Unless you guys are on the opposite side of the bracket.
Nah, I think they're on the same side of the bracket. So yeah. It'll be a Final Four matchup if all two were to advance.
So I would say that scenario or Elite Eight and something weird happens. Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, the concern that I have, and we talked about this a little bit off air too, is I wish that college basketball would up the fouls from 5 to 6. I've seen too many games, especially in the tournament, where, you know, one of the star players, mind you, there's only very few college basketball star players. Let's say Zion Williams picks up 2 quick fouls in the first 5 minutes. He's going to be done for the half, and he's not going to come back until the second half.
Yeah.
You're talking about missing a premier player, the best player in the nation, for 15 consecutive minutes. Who knows?
That's a good chunk of the game. Yeah, that's a good chunk of the game.
And we've already seen how Duke plays when Zion's not on the floor or when he's not playing at all. I like RJ Barrett, but RJ Barrett can't carry Duke. He needs Zion as well.
Well, they're a 1-2 punch, yeah. I would say. And I feel like Cam Reddish and Trey Jones, Tyus Jones' brother, who also went to Duke, just balances them out. The supporting cast. If the supporting cast is, I don't know their names, Connors and...
Yeah, but they aren't that deep, though.
Yeah.
Because they rely on the stars. They rely on RJ, you know what I mean? Cam, and Zion.
So, I would just say that if they're able to sustain that intensity, that's what I think I was trying to say earlier, sustain that intensity for the duration of the tournament, then they have a good chance of winning. But the durability of Zion and RJ is going to be hard because the team isn't as balanced. I would say the top four is balanced, but the entire team isn't.
Yeah.
We have more balance. That's why I feel like we won more games so far. But I have North Carolina winning or at least being in the Final Four. I would say... teams to watch. I saw a game the other day, and was it Ole Miss? Which team was it? I watched it right before I went into work, and I couldn't remember. But that team was lighting. Who does Bruce Pearl? Who does he coach?
Is it Ole Miss?
Because they were playing Tennessee. The team he used to coach.
I think it is.
Ole Miss. Ole Miss was waxing that ass. I mean, three after three. Go back and coach. He can definitely coach. Go back and watch highlights of that game because it looked like a game simulator. That's how good they were clicking. Tennessee went on a little run, but I think Ole Miss eventually won because they had, when I left, they were up by like 13 points with like 3 minutes left.
And Ole Miss is an 8 seed. They're playing Oklahoma in the first round. If they win that matchup, they're playing the winner of Gardner-Webb and Virginia. So you may be looking at an upset alert right
now. Okay, yeah.
Hey, it could be Virginia and Ole Miss.
Watch that game.
Be surprised.
Ole Miss is my – I don't know if they're really an upset team, but, I mean, I definitely would choose them as an upset team.
Yeah, I mean, they're not much of a sleeper, but for some
reason – they're not no-name, but they haven't been in the conversation – for a while.
I would say another team to look out for, I know a 2C isn't really a sleeper, but you got to watch out for Michigan State. Tom Izzo's teams, especially when he doesn't have the best star players or whatever the case is, his teams show up and they play hard. So you got to look out for Michigan State. They're in Duke's bracket. They could pull something off. Let's say if Duke doesn't, you know, pull through like we expect them to. Look out for Michigan State. They may make a little bit of noise, and they can play with pretty much any team in the nation.
I've always been a Michigan State fan, low-key, just because Magic went to Michigan State, you know. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, no, we'll see what happens. And last thing before we change topics, do you do an NCAA bracket?
I do not. The last time I did a bracket, North Carolina lost. I'll never do another bracket. I just like to watch. I'm a connoisseur of basketball. I'm a basketball enthusiast. So I just like watching good games and games played at a high level. So
I'm one of those fans that I know the game of basketball. I study the game of basketball. But March Madness is so crazy to the point where you can't predict it. Yeah. Like everything isn't
how try,
everything that it plays out on paper, you know, you could have the top scoring team in the nation averaging 85 points a game and they show up and drop like 55. You never know when that's gonna happen. I still do the brackets though because I'd like to get a perfect bracket one day and get that payout. I can use that. I still do the brackets. It's fun, but when the bracket blows, you know, that first upset team that you didn't pick, you know it's a wrap from that point. But I still participate in the fun and get frustrated every single time someone busts the bracket. That's just what makes college basketball fun. So
you look forward to disappointing yourself.
Basically, because my bracket's never perfect. I think I remember the year Lonzo was in it. I thought UCLA was going to go so far, and that didn't happen. I think they made it maybe to a Sweet 16 and lost to Kentucky.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was like, oh no, UCLA, and they just weren't it for me. So
that was a good year of basketball, though.
Yeah, no, it was. Though. It was fun watching De'Aaron Fox cook Lonzo. And honestly, we'll get into it a little later as he wears his
Spurs basketball hoodie.
And I mean, we'll get into it a little later too, but
in front of a Lakers fan base,
De'Aaron pretty much showed that he should have gone higher than Lonzo in the draft.
How come y'all didn't draft him? Because you got picked before you guys could get to him?
Well, yeah, I mean, we don't draft that high because we're always in the playoffs. So we'll talk about the Lakers a little later, though. You'll get to see my bashing nature a little bit more as well. All right, so we're going to get into this next segment called Preaching or Reaching. We're going to talk about some of the other top topics in sports. We're going to make a bold statement, and then we're going to decide, is that preaching? Do you agree with the statement, or do we disagree? Are you reaching? So let's talk about Odell to the Browns. Odell Beckham got traded to the Browns for a first-round pick in this year's draft, a third-round pick, and Jabril Peppers. Obviously, when you're looking at Cleveland, you're talking about Baker Mayfield, Kareem Hunt, Nick Chubb, Jarvis Landry, and now Odell. So with those all in the mix, is Cleveland now an AFC favorite? Is that preaching or reaching? What you think?
I would say reaching. It's too soon to tell. Of course, Odell Beckham, I feel he's not the best wide receiver in the league. I feel like he's the most exciting wide receiver in the league. When healthy, he can definitely put yards up for sure. He's one of the best at creating space, and he looks good when he does it. So him linking up with Baker, I think, is going to add definitely an interesting complexity to that team. Who's their coach?
That's the problem. Freddie Kitchens is their coach. Okay. First time coach, only been a coordinator for like 8 games.
Okay, see, that's where we start to, it starts to become more of a reach, because you're not even strong at the coaching position. And they're running back. I mean, are you just going to throw to OBJ every play? Like, what? Like, Baker is still developing as a quarterback. I think he's going to be solid. I'm not sure what kind of quarterback he's going to be like, whether it's a pocket quarterback or kind of like a a pseudo Russell Westbrook, Russell Wilson, wrong sport, a Russell Wilson where he kind of runs a little bit, he tries to pick up some yards himself. So it's going to be interesting. However, I feel like this year, Odell needs to focus. He needs to, like, all the antics, and I call them antics because, you know, it was that one game where he had the Joker mask on his gloves.
What
I mean? It's theater for him, but I think he needs to take his game to another level, and that's just playing smarter, being more locked in. You can play with passion, but let's be more calculating. You're not getting any younger. You know what I mean? Wide receivers, there's only a few wide receivers that I know can play, that has played, for a long period of time and has gotten the job done. Larry Fitzgerald, and he's an outstanding presence in the league and abroad. So I think he should try to mirror his game after somebody who will have somebody who has longevity, so he can have the same type of longevity in his game.
Yeah, I mean, I'll have to agree with you. I'll say that it's a reach, and the reason being is coaching. And on top of that, you know, just like we'll talk about the Lakers a little later, I think who you have in your leadership roles is very important.
Absolutely.
In determining success for a franchise. And I'm sorry, I know that Cleveland has talent now, but they're still deemed a dysfunctional organization. How can you necessarily just eliminate years and years of turmoil and get a couple talented players?
Change the colors. You have brown.
Well, then
one of the brown and orange. Brown and orange, really?
Well, I mean, that's how they get down in Cleveland. but I mean, I think you got to look at coaching. We don't know what Freddie Kitchens is capable of. Could he be the next Sean McVay? Sure. Could he be the next, you know, John Gruden? I don't know. We don't know what he's capable of, and we really just have to find that out. I know Cleveland has a lot of cap space, and they're making some moves. I definitely think that they're probably a favorite in the AFC North, with Pittsburgh, you know, likely falling off, losing AB and Le'Veon. And then the Ravens
basically gave
away their whole defense.
Yeah, let's talk about that. Where basically, the Steelers lost two of their best players in the same summer, in the same year. And so I don't know what they're going to do post all of this, because who are you gaining? Who are you gaining to replace AB. Antonio Brown?
Yeah.
That's production, okay? Le'Veon Bell, that's production. You know what I mean? I don't care if he's a diva or not. That's production either way you slice it. So their coach, what's his name again?
Mike Tomlin.
I'm going to pray for you, Mike Tomlin, because that's a tall order to have a winning season. And let's be completely honest. Ben Roethlisberger isn't getting any younger.
Nah.
Who they have backing him? So I think Steelers are going to have a very interesting year. And I don't know. Mike Tomlin might be on the clock.
You know, but at the same time,
I think he's been on the clock, to be real.
Yeah, no, he definitely has been. This may potentially buy him some more time, not having those superstars that he's had over the past several years. But, you know, you and I have both played in team sports. And think about when you had some of the most talented players and, you know, they were also the biggest head cases, and they caused so much, you know, team drama and stuff like that. Not to say that that was Le'Veon.
I definitely don't want to say any names, but
they may be listening right now.
Yeah, for sure.
But, you know, you have those players like that, and all of a sudden they don't play. Your team is less talented, but for some reason you play better. Team chemistry is so underrated when it comes to team sports. That's really
because it's more balanced. It's crazy. It just goes to show how good Michael Jordan was,
right?
Or just players that affect games the way they do. Where it's, we look at their individual talent, when none of, like, almost everything can't be done just by yourself. But some individuals that play at such a high level, they have the ability to impose their will on games, you know, and change outcomes of games. So I think when you measure it like that, I don't know who they're going to have, and they're not going to have the same season. We picked up Amari Cooper, though. That's all I know.
Yeah, but yeah, like I said, when it comes to team chemistry, that's huge. You know, if you don't think the team chemistry is real, look at the New England Patriots from top to bottom. Their roster is
best-run organization.
But it's the best-run organization. The team chemistry is there.
In sports.
Yeah, all that is there, and that's why we always say they're a favorite to make or win the Super Bowl. So that stuff matters. And obviously the Steelers' chemistry hasn't been right for years. We can definitely see that. So I'm not going to say that they're necessarily out and they're going to miss the playoffs next year. It honestly wouldn't surprise me if they still found a way to win the AFC North. Right now, it's still wide open. I know Cleveland was in the mix, and they'll still be in the mix. But Pittsburgh still runs that division. It's theirs until they decide that it's not theirs anymore. So back to us talking about Cleveland, I definitely think it's a reach to say they're a Super Bowl contender now, because they're not up there in the caliber of organizations of the true teams that are competing for the Super Bowl coming out of the AFC.
Exactly.
All right. So since we started talking about the Steelers a little bit, let's talk about the last player that they lost, Antonio Brown. Obviously, we know that Antonio Brown got traded to the Raiders for only a third and a fifth round pick.
Blew it.
AB is the ultimate finesser, because how did he find a way at 31 years old to get traded to a team and say, I need more guaranteed money? Like, he had a fully non-guaranteed deal and somehow came out with $30 million guaranteed.
Well, part of it, I feel like his personality fits more of a Raider mentality. Now that I really look at it, I feel like, you know, you definitely have to have a certain type of personality to play in a Laker uniform. He's kind of asserted himself more so off the field in recent years that I've seen him do. But he's always been, you know, somebody who produces. And that's why I think people will always continue to, I think, value him as a player. The only thing that I question is, you know, John Gruden. He's a headache to me. He's a headache because I don't see the vision. Show me the vision, John. I don't see it. I mean, Derek Carr has been inconsistent since his injury. You know, trading away, what's his name? Mac. Khalil Mack. The best defensive player I've seen in a while.
Yeah, I mean, Gruden has to absolutely.
Besides Aaron Donald.
Gruden has to hit on every single one of these first round draft picks. He has to. All of them have to develop into either stars or superstars in their position. There is no, oh, well, this is a solid player that we drafted in the middle of the first round. Like, all these dudes got to be stars, or you need to combine them and be able to trade up in the draft to get Kyler Murray, if that's who you
want. What I don't understand,
or a superstar.
What I don't understand is how come he has so much guaranteed money? How? Like, well,
we just finished talking about dysfunctional organizations, the Raiders have been one. Obviously, the Raiders have one of the best fan bases in sports, but their ownership, their leadership is dysfunction.
And that's the only thing I worry about AB's longevity there in Oakland. I mean, is Marshawn Lynch even coming back? Does Marshawn Lynch even want to play football? I feel like Marshawn Lynch is just having a good time. He just happens to be good at football. He's still a stud. I feel like if he was more focused, he could probably be. Is he going to be a future Hall of Famer?
I think he's making a late push.
He has one championship, right? One?
Yeah, he has one.
With the Seahawks.
I feel like in the grand scheme of things, he may not end up making it. It wouldn't surprise me. He had a great run, but it didn't stand out in the ways that other Hall of Fame running backs do.
I feel like he, as long as his family's good, he's good. You know what I mean? He's, bro, you're from Oakland and you're playing on the Oakland Raiders.
Right. But also, I
don't think... You can't tell me anything.
I don't think that he's one of Gruden's guys. And we've seen that if you're not a Gruden guy, or if you're not...
First of all, he's not a quarterback.
Right, right. But, you know, Gruden comes in with his little mantra, and, you know, he wants guys that are going to be in the trenches with him. But Gruden is tough to be around.
But why... I don't understand why he was paid without doing any of the work.
Yeah, I mean, people looked at him in the booth. He wouldn't have been able to get that anywhere else other than Oakland. Any other franchise, I don't care
who. Oakland got robbed. That's all I got to say.
Oh, no, they definitely did. Even if they end up getting one Super Bowl out of these next 10 years, $100 million for a 10-year contract isn't worth it to me.
No.
Gruden gets a little bit too much credit for his work over the years. He inherited Tony Dungy's team when they won the Super Bowl back in 2003. And he happened to play the team that he just left as well. He knew all their plays, so how much credit can you really give him for that? He ended up being fired by Tampa Bay, you know, what, 4 years after that or whatever the case is. And he hasn't been in coaching since. There's a reason why people aren't making job offers for him. You can't just, you know, do your little Gruden's QB camp and then show up and say, yeah, hey, man, now I can just coach and blend right in. That's not how it works. And I think he's in for a long ride. Raiders fans, I think you guys are in for a very long ride.
Well, Raiders fans, they've come to know who they are. And, you know, I mean, I just think it's funny.
They're hella loyal even though their team is trash.
They just like being entertained. They don't like winning as much.
Yeah, I'm convinced, or else they wouldn't be a Raiders fan anymore.
But, I mean, do your thing, man.
But, I mean, do you think that this AB move makes them a better team? Does it make them a potential playoff team?
It makes them a potential playoff team if they can play remotely good defense.
That's not
possible. And that AB can stay open. Who's going to throw to AB? That's the only thing I'm worrying about is who's going to throw to AB on a consistent basis.
Right. I mean, there's still the question mark of is Derek Carr even going to be on the team?
Yeah.
We've heard those rumblings since last offseason where maybe Derek Carr wasn't Gruden's guy or isn't a Gruden guy. I think that's definitely possible. For Derek's sake, I hope he leaves, just that he can be in a better situation with a better organization. But, I mean, I guess we'll see what's going to happen, you know, in the near future. So next, we got Russell Westbrook and his situation in Utah.
I swear to God.
So we kind of know what happened with the whole situation. Russ is over there on the sideline getting ready for the game. He starts getting a little bit of jibber jabber with one of the Utah fans. And according to what Russ said, the fan told him to shut up and get on his knees like he used to.
It's very odd to say to a person you don't personally know, and if you did personally know them, that'd be very odd to say.
Right. Did you see the fans interview after the fact?
No,
when
I did
asked
not.
Him what he said?
I did not.
He said that, because Russ said that it was him and his wife that were saying that to him. You know, the husband said it, and then, you know, his wife said it after. That's why Russ said, I'll F you up, you and your wife.
Wow.
But the fan said that Russ had ice on his knees, and all he was telling Russ is to just ice his knees. Just sit down and ice your knees, bro. I highly doubt that that's what was said. Not only because Russ said opposite, but also Patrick Patterson, I think, was on the bench at the time, too, and said exactly what Russ said. Said that's what the dude said to him. Utah has a reputation for being, I won't say necessarily racist, but racial, of being just excessive in general. So it doesn't surprise me that the dude said what Russell said he said, because I think he did.
But why go at Russ when you know his reaction was going to be? He probably assumed that's what his reaction was going to be.
That's what they want, though.
Yeah, they want to get a reaction out of him.
That's definitely what they
want. And that's exactly what they got. But I think Russ is smart enough. Well, I feel like people are smart enough hopefully, to know that. And I'm glad that Utah did something about it. They're, I think, either CEO or their active president.
Yeah, so like, it was the owner that, you know, okay, had the statement and then banned the fans and all that good stuff. But is it preaching or reaching that the NBA should actually step in and mandate some of these things and get the fans under control?
I think it's preaching. But I feel like, see, this one's a little harder. I do strongly believe in governing yourselves, you know, because a lot of times I feel like people know what to do, what you should do, but they choose not to. We all know what to do, but it's just having the courage to do it.
Right.
And a lot of organizations, teams, and individuals don't have the courage to do that. But I do think the NBA should have a little bit of foresight, but I'm going to retract preaching, and I'm going to say reaching, because I feel like you should govern yourself. That shouldn't be an issue. And if it comes up, quash the issue. You know what I mean? Just.
I feel you, but I'm going to go preaching. And the reason I'm going to go preaching is a couple different reasons.
Okay.
First and foremost, we all remember the Malice in the Palace. You know, when the Malice in the Palace happened, shout out Ron Artest.
Man.
And shout out
Steven Jackson,
Jermaine O'Neal. They slept their share of people. I know there are people that are still feeling.
Yo, I need that Ron Artest, like, ripped Indiana, like, bruh, the stripe shirt. I need first of all, I need a Ron Artest shirt. I mean, jersey with the like navy blue with the stripes on it. I need
like
one
the
of those.
Beer stains and stuff on it too.
Nah, I just need a crispy one, like, but like the old school style, like, yeah, that, not the updated version. Yeah. And I'm gonna rock that. I'm gonna rock that proud. But I need that. Oh man, that was such a bad scene.
Nah, it was. And I know the NBA obviously jumped in and they did their part then. And everything has been about kind of, you know, restraining from the Malice in the Palace. I think, obviously,
do you think that could happen today? I had to cut you off, but do you think that can happen? What if that happened today?
I feel like if it happened today, it would be a lot worse. We only saw what happened or what the camera caught, but think about 2019. Cell phones everywhere.
Oh man.
Audio everywhere.
Oh man.
We would see.
You would hear it.
We would hear every fan.
Somebody would go live and you would view somebody getting knocked out.
Exactly. That would be demoralized.
It would be hilarious to a degree. To a degree.
Yeah.
But somebody getting beat up is not funny. But when you capture it on video, sometimes it is.
Yeah.
However, I think that, I don't know what team would, because Houston and Lakers got close. It got really chippy.
I mean, there's some goons in the league still. Like, maybe not the goons, the caliber of like a David West or, you know, Larry Johnson or anyone like
David
that.
David West.
There are dudes that are still about that action. And
Lambeer.
Like, and if you threw beer on them, maybe they won't come into the stands, but they'll find you. They'll find you. So, I mean, I definitely think that it's possible that it could happen. Probably unlikely, but still possible nonetheless. Mm. But I think the NBA needs to step in, because we did start to lighten up a little bit. You see how close fans are to the court. Think about in all other sports, fans don't have that close of a connection to where I could literally reach out and touch you. I could grab you. I could do whatever to you. That doesn't really happen in many other sports, because there's a little bit of a distance or there's a buffer, whether it's, you know, the glass in hockey or whether it's just an extended sideline in football.
You have more access. I heard somebody talking about this when the situation happened. They said you have more access to the players,
right,
when you're sitting courtside, when you're sitting close on the court. That doesn't mean you're allowed to say whatever you want, because you wouldn't do that in a regular setting, which makes perfect sense.
Right.
You wouldn't go up to a random person that you don't know, famous or not, and spout explicit things to them.
Exactly.
Because one, that's odd, which I said at the beginning of this podcast. But also, like you wouldn't do that. Until I think somebody can do that to a player just because they paid for a ticket. Absolutely not.
Right.
You're not allowed to come here. What I found, did you see that, what was it, James Dolan video?
Let's talk
about that briefly.
Sell the team! Anything I should sell the team? You want to not come to any more games?
Why?
That's rude.
What's your opinion?
No, it's not an opinion. And you know what? Enjoy watching them on TV.
I mean, that's so
I find
wild.
It hilarious.
Yeah, I find it hilarious because Jim Dolan as an owner is so sensitive. People have been telling him to sell the team for years. One fan, all he says is sell the team, and he gets banned from MSG.
Oh man!
I mean, dude, your Knicks have won like 14 games this season.
Are you serious?
Yeah, they won 14 games.
Oh man, I didn't know it was that
low. One of them against the Lakers.
That's whatever.
But I'm they won one against the Spurs too, so I'm being impartial there. but I mean, you're putting a terrible product out there, and you're still one of the most valuable franchises.
New York City,
in the NBA.
New York City, you guys took Carmelo Anthony when he was coming out of his prime, and basically wasted the rest of his years,
right?
As even wanting to play, because you make it that difficult for a player. He's like, man, why am I even doing this? You guys aren't even adding pieces around me,
right?
And they check out.
But in the end, who looked like the bad guy? Was it Melo?
It was Melo. It was Melo for sure.
Like, but you don't want to cut the check. You don't want to, you know, do what you need to do to put a winning product on the floor. You know, shout out to Phil Jackson as well, because he definitely played his part in the dysfunction for a couple years. I feel like he got to the point.
He didn't even want the job.
Yeah, exactly. How do you?
He asked him several times.
Yes, he did. He did.
Which is insane to me.
I mean,
how do you hire someone? He's like Donald Trump. He's like, I don't want the job. You're hired.
Yeah, he ultimately gave him an offer that he couldn't refuse. So you're telling me you're going to give me $10 million a year to do something I don't want to do?
Facts.
He's
like, bet. Say less.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I could do that.
That was on Dolan. Dolan had an opportunity to get. He could have gotten some better head coaches in there. Last time I checked, Mark Jackson's been available for years, but for some reason, no one wants to hire Mark Jackson. There's been plenty of coaches out there. There's been plenty of moves that could have been made. Maybe even for the Knicks franchise, Luke Walton would have been a better move in New York than it would be in LA, potentially.
I mean, I'm not even sure if Luke Walton is a bad coach.
Yeah, I mean, but
because
again,
all of the like white noise and the background noise of like the media and other teams and other players and all these unnecessary LeBron questions, like, you guys, it's the craziest thing. I've never seen this happen to a team where almost all the guys on the team are young guys, underdeveloped, still, you know, trying to, you know, come into their own, showing flashes of, you know, being decent players at the minimum. But you're also playing with one of the best players of all time, first and foremost. First ballot, future Hall of Famer, LeBron James, still doing crazy numbers. He goes down. We take several games back and lose traction, and we're missing the playoffs now. But we're still being talked about.
Right.
You can't even imagine trying to play in LA during this time.
Yeah. So, I mean, let's stay on the Lakers while we're there.
For sure.
Who's at fault for this season?
Okay. Off the field. Oh, off the court. It's LeBron James' fault. Indirectly.
Mm-hmm.
Just because of who he is. Tracking that much. There hasn't been that much buzz in LA. Lonzo Ball, if you had Lonzo Ball and LeBron James, I mean, that's a season's worth of things to talk about.
Yeah.
But just the culmination of all those things, Magic Johnson coming back, Jeannie Buss, like, it was tinseltown again. It was, Showtime Lakers. All those things that Laker fans have been clamoring for. I think Laker fans are probably one of the most spoiled bunch of fans in the world, just because we're such a storied franchise and we have so many Hall of Famers. We love everything instantly, and just the nature of LA.
Right.
The, you know, everything's marquee, everything's box office, and it comes with the territory. However, I think that people just need to relax. People need to relax and then allow people to play and develop, because let's be real, the Golden State Warriors wasn't the Golden State Warriors 10 years ago. They were starting to become the Golden State Warriors. But you got to think about it. Who was the best? Before Steph Curry, who was the Golden State Warriors' best player? Monte Ellis.
Right.
Monte Ellis was your guys' best hope. And then y'all like, oh, this kid Steph, he's starting to like come around. How long did that process take? Everybody wants to rust. Let these guys play. When basketball becomes less of, you know, just playing the game and letting the game come to you and having fun out there and competing and working your ass off the field or off the court. I keep saying off the field because we were talking about football earlier. But once it becomes more about that, then you start to win more games. You start to get that chemistry.
Yeah. I'm going to say it's LeBron's fault. Not 100%, because I understand the roster that was built was not an ideal roster. So part of that blame does have to go to Rob Pelinka and Magic, because you guys are the ones that assembled the team. And they made it clear that they weren't going to be deferring to LeBron. They were going to be the ones to make, you know, personnel decisions and things like that. But it's the line share to me has to go to LeBron, because when you think about it, when we go through LeBron's past like 6 years in the league, for example, every single move that he's made has been calculated. He does things for a reason. He doesn't do anything just because that's how I felt in the moment. He's doing it because of how he plans things out in the future. And LeBron knows his impact and how that looks in the media. Sitting at the end of the bench, you know, at the end of the Indiana game, you know, five seats away from another teammate.
Yeah.
You know exactly how that looks. Yeah. In the midst of trade rumors and things like that. There are multiple times he could have come out and verbally shown support for the players that were on the trading block. You know, he could have hyped those people up. But he never really took the opportunity to do that. He just let them kind of delve in it. And mind you, I know LeBron came back from injury and all that stuff, and he missed like 19 games. But the playoffs were still very realistic for them. So it's not like they were out. But the team just completely fell apart when he came back, because, wait, I gotta play with this dude now after he just tried to trade me?
Well, you gotta look at it this way, too. You gotta look at it this way. As LeBron is still chasing ghosts.
Yeah.
Records. He's probably, people don't say this often about LeBron. They say he's a freak of nature, but they don't say how competitive he is. He's a very competitive person. You cannot be a competitive first. You cannot not be, is a double negative, sorry, a competitive person and make it to the final 8 consecutive years, or what is it, 6, was it 8?
It was 8 consecutive years.
It's just not going to happen.
But I think that's part of what makes me so disappointed in him this year, though, is because there were multiple instances, not just defensively. I know everyone talks about his defense, but even offensively, where he kind of checked out. It was like what Kobe did that one year in the playoffs in like game 7 against Phoenix, where he just continued to pass the ball and let other people just make plays. But he didn't really do, you know, what he needed to do. All right, so now let's talk the NBA MVP race. I'm pretty sure it's like pretty well known that it's a 3-man race right now when you think about either Giannis, James Harden, or PG. Ultimately, who's your MVP?
I like Giannis. I like Giannis being MVP, not just because I feel like it would be a dope thing for basketball, and I think he has a really cool story. I just think he's just had a commanding lead this year. Not just, I feel like, for his team, not like James Harden, where, you know, you go on a scoring run. But I don't know. I guess I would say Giannis, if not just because I like the way he plays more. But if I'm being more objective, I'd give it to James. So back to back title for James Harden, based off what I think the NBA considers the MVP.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to go against Giannis. I mean, I think the media is probably going to vote for Giannis. They love to go for the best player on the best team. And
he's kind of an underdog MVP too, if you think about it.
No, he
didn't. I don't think he's a household name.
Yeah,
James just yet.
Well, I mean, his name doesn't even fit in the whole house. His name is too long.
Sacks.
Yeah. I saw something.
Pause.
I think Bleacher Report shared it, where they said, is Giannis like the next Shaq? Because statistically, they had similar stats.
Now, they was reaching.
Definitely reaching.
Completely different player.
Completely different player. Completely different style of play.
There will never be another Shaq.
Like, do you realize how easy it is to average 10 boards a game in today's NBA? I mean, when you're shooting three
Shaq
left
could probably
and right,
Shaq could probably get 25, maybe 30 rebounds in this day's NBA. Could
or you could almost argue that it could even stay the same or only slightly go up because a bunch of threes that are missed, long rebounds. That's how guys like Steph Curry can average 6-7 rebounds a game.
Or he'll foul out.
Yeah, because Shaq's fouling out in the first two quarters of the game with today's league. But I would say I got to go with James Harden. And the reason being, I can't think of the last time that somebody averaged like 36 points a game and didn't win MVP. And on top of that, he's done it without Chris Paul for long stretches. And even when Chris Paul is there, he still takes the lion's share of the load to carry. He puts him on his back. He carries the team. So, I mean, I think James is worthy of the back-to-back because all he did was just have an even better season than his first MVP season. So I definitely think you got to give it to James. Paul George is definitely an honorable mention, but he's just not quite on the level of a Giannis or James Harden this season.
Who would you start a franchise with?
Out of those three?
Yeah.
I probably started with Giannis because that's the most versatility. And you can do kind of whatever you want with that.
Once-in-a-generation player, I would say. He's like KD. If KD, like took steroids or, you know. I mean, I hate to say steroids because it's such a weird thing. He's just beefier. He's just bigger.
Yeah. And I think Giannis is built different. Giannis is more from the – or he wants to be more from the Kobe mold, and not a lot of people
are
for that anymore.
Yeah.
They're more so being LeBron-esque.
I miss that when you like that age of basketball where you, if you dunked on a dude, you let him know about it. You know what I mean? You can't even flex on nobody no more. You got to like flex into the crowd and, you know, all that.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, they're trying to prevent the fights, but
that's what makes. That's competition.
Yeah.
Competition.
That's
is
how it's played.
Taunting. That's letting you know, hey, I just made that three in your face.
Oh, yeah.
I just dunked on you. I just crossed you.
Oh yeah.
I mean, and I feel bad because the referees don't even know what real taunting is. Like when James Harden crossed Wesley Johnson and just looked down at him while he was on the ground, that was taunting.
Right.
I loved it.
Right.
Don't get me wrong, but that was taunting. So that's in true. Any. If the referees were aware, if they knew how it was on the playgrounds and stuff like that, that's taunting.
You really think they don't know? Or do you think that's just the way they want them to ref?
Maybe a combination of both. But there's some things that they reach on as well. Like I remember last week or the week before, Trae Young hit a three and then he kind of like stared. It was such a brief stare down at Chris Dunn. Then he got a tech, and that was the second
shout
one.
Shout out to Trae Young playing up to his potential and potentially better, because he's playing, he's making the same shots that he was making in college.
Yeah.
And he's making them
greater difference
with ease. And that's what I like to see. Because a lot of people, they count you out. A lot of sports analysts count you out because of your size or whatever. But, I mean, underdog story or whatever you want to call it, I'm a Trae Young fan. I'm just putting that out there.
Yeah, no, I definitely like
Trae. Watched him in high school too.
Yeah, no, shout outs to him. I remember he was on the same AAU team as Michael Porter Jr. and that just wasn't even fair. So shout outs Trae Young.
They were on the same AAU team.
That's wild. I just saw highlights of it again a couple of days ago, and it wasn't even fair how they were doing people. Shout out
Michael Porter Jr. If he's able to play up to his potential, the Nuggets are going to be nice. Nuggets are going to be like, they're going to be like Philadelphia, but in the West.
Yeah.
Because Michael Porter Jr. to me is on par, at least last when I saw him play in high school. He was on par with Ben Simmons as far as like production of numbers, grabbing boards, just being that MVP type of player for your team, or just imposing his will on a game.
Right.
But it's going to be interesting. It's going to be real interesting.
Nah, for sure.
But yeah, James for MVP.
I mean, I don't think there's really a bad pick. I think I get all three of them, you know, cases for all three of them. I think it's just more so really just your preference.
And
my preference this year is James. Don't get me wrong. I hate the flopping. I hate
sweeping
move that he gets away with.
It drives me crazy because it's like, it's not a natural motion. And real hoopers know, but he gets away with it.
Right.
And he's able to do them because of his build. He's a guard, but he's more of like a Gilbert Arenas.
Right.
Like,
and what I don't get is how can you not do his step back in high school and college, but you can do it in the pros? I thought the footwork is supposed to like increase and you should be even more disciplined.
I heard.
But you get to, so basically just be disciplined and make it to the league and then do whatever you want.
Right. Basically.
Yeah, I see traveling left and right.
Oh, yeah.
It bothers me so much. You would think that you're talking about elite basketball players that they would be able to do these moves and have them still be legal by, you know, global basketball rules, not just NBA rules.
This is what I heard, though. I heard that the rules are different at every level.
Yeah.
Like, and I've heard that from refs. Mm-hmm. Like, a video I was watching, and then because they were saying, people think that the rules are the same at every level.
Right.
And then they all agree in unison was like, yeah, they do. I was like, what? It's not.
Right.
What you mean, bro?
Yeah. But I mean, I think that there are some things that should be universal. Like anyone should be able to say that's a travel, that's not a travel.
Should be like math, yeah.
I mean, where's my gather step? Last time I heard, a gather step was a pivot foot. But in the league, that don't matter.
It's really wild to me how people just get away with it. Yeah.
Yeah. How as a defender, how can you defend that? It's literally
crazy.
Impossible.
It's crazy. I mean, it could also, we forget this too, as watchers or onlookers, I should say, is how fast the game moves.
Yeah.
Because if you've ever been to a college game or like even like a high school game, but you're watching like the high school basketball game, like they could be like the best teams in like your city.
Right.
Versus like the best teams in the nation. And then you go into college and so on and so forth. But the game is so much quicker and people don't understand that. Mm-hmm. And so I think these refs are trying to, these aren't like world class refs.
Right.
They're referees, you know what I mean? They're average Joes. They have to be somewhat fit to do their job, but to keep up with world class athletes in their primes, it's kind of a hard ass to me. Yeah. That's just giving them some kind of lenience, but they need to figure it out because it's confusing for us to see it. Just because we know it to be a certain way, you can't have a rule forever and then change it just to appease a certain population size,
right,
or to make a ref's like a job easier.
Easier or whatever. Like
just like just don't travel.
Yeah, exactly. Just don't travel. That's always been the way that I felt about it. But I mean, NBA players, I guess we want to see great plays. And if that means an extra step to make the great play, then the NBA will take that.
That's probably what it is.
Yeah.
Man, did this dude just did this?
Shout out John Starks. He's the inspiration for this segment.
I remember you telling me.
So this segment is all about highlighting just some of the craziest things done in the world of sports over the past week. We got a few to get into. First and foremost, we got to talk about Serge Ibaka going Ali Bumbaye on Marquise Chris.
Dylon.
Yeah, straight Dylon. That was
too close.
I mean, but this isn't the first time that Serge has been in like a true fist fight. I remember him throwing punches with Robin Lopez. I mean,
oh, Serge about that action.
He is about that action. But when you watch the clip, why? Nothing really happened to where Chris where Ibaka needed to get up and
I think that was just him getting out of his head as far as like being focused. Yeah. I guess Marquise Chris got under his skin, because if you're an OG player and a little dude, well, I shouldn't say little dude, but like a younger guy like that is getting under your skin like that, you need to, you know, check yourself. It could be something you need to look at to affect, to, you know, go to the next level in your game.
Right.
But now there was nothing in the video that I saw to warrant that type of reaction, which was odd.
Yeah.
And maybe it was because he was competing with him, and he was like, Serge felt, oh, this young guy shouldn't be competing with me at this. You know what I mean? He probably felt some type of way.
Yeah, and I mean, I can't say that, you know, I on a random day was watching the Cavs and the Raptors, so I'm not going to front like I watched the whole game. But maybe something happened earlier in the game. They had been going back and forth. But even then, it's just kind of surprising and disappointing that Serge lost sight of the fact that the Raptors are the second best team in the East right now, record-wise. They're trying to compete for a championship. This isn't no, you know, regular season game where he can just afford to do something and miss some games. Like, they're competing for the number one seed. You're going up against one of the five worst teams in the league. You're a player that no one even cares about in Marquise Chris. And you gave yourself an opportunity to wild out like that.
He suspended? Yourself up.
He didn't end up getting suspended, which was crazy. He only got ejected. I don't think he got suspended.
Because he definitely swung on Cuz.
Yeah, but when you get into that situation, you don't know what it's going to turn into. What if it ended up being much worse? Now you're looking at, you know, rest of the season suspension or something like that, where there's a long-term effect on your team.
Well, that's another thing, which is why I kind of wondered, like, where's your head? You know what I mean? Did they lose that game?
Nah, I think they won because it was Cleveland, so they probably won that game.
Yeah.
But still, you know, how could you put yourself in that kind of situation and allow yourself to wild out in a game that ultimately shouldn't even matter that much?
Hey, sir, just chill, man.
Yeah.
Just chill out. Just chill out.
Definitely got to chill. Another favorite that I had from this past week, did you see the clip of the Sixers in Milwaukee over this past weekend where Mike Scott was saving the ball and then he dove into the crowd and one of the fans was trying to help him up and he grabbed her beer and took a sip of it before he got back on the court?
I did not see this.
Yeah, you gotta look it up.
Okay.
First things first, this is just such a problem when it comes to hygiene. I mean, there's already people that I legitimately know that I'm not drinking after.
Oh,
and I'm going to drink after this random fan. It may or may not even be their own beer. It could have been their husband's beer or something like that.
He just went to the bathroom real quick.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, I don't know if you're a smoker. I don't know.
Oh,
I don't know what you got going on. Like,
it could be anything.
He's definitely wilding for that. It was a white lady, so I was kind of surprised that she probably didn't like call him an N-word or something like that.
Wait, Mike Scott.
Yeah, Mike Scott.
Is that the light-skinned dude?
Yeah, with all the tattoos. Looks like Kenyon Martin 2.0.
Who does he play for?
He plays for the Sixers.
So he came back? I thought he was playing overseas.
Yeah, yeah. So he came back.
Okay.
And speaking of, because I know we were talking about goons earlier, Mike Scott is one of those goons that's still in the league right now.
That's fine.
But yeah, straight took a sip of her beer and then ran back onto the court.
The question is, what kind of beer was it?
Yeah, I mean, probably like Coors Light
or something
like that. Oh, you know? But like,
I'm disappointed now.
Yeah, but shout out to Mike Scott for doing that. But you may want to go to your doctor, get a real checkup real
right,
quick.
Right, some blood sure, work you
know.
Done.
Exactly. You don't know these people, especially up in Milwaukee. You don't know.
True.
You don't know. So just look out for that.
True. Very true.
Last, we got the New Orleans Pelicans. So obviously the Pelicans are already kind of losers in the grand scope of things because you got your superstar who doesn't want to be there. And you guys just refuse to let him go. Like, I don't know if it's like a pride thing where it's like, I'd rather just leave and get nothing in return, but not give you what you want, as opposed to give in and then get something into return. So it seems like it's more so a pride thing. But the Pelicans also lost this past weekend to the Suns when they actually probably should have won the game. So what happened? I think the Suns had just made a shot and the Pelicans called a timeout. You know, like most teams do when the, you know, clock's running out in the fourth quarter, they want to try to, you know, get everything together for a last shot. The problem is they didn't have a timeout. So if you know anything about basketball, if you don't call a timeout, you don't have one, that's a technical foul.
Penalty.
The other team shoots, free throw, they usually get the ball back as well. Have you ever been in a situation where you didn't know if your team had a timeout and you called one?
No. All the time, most of the time when I called a timeout, I was asked to call a timeout by my coach. All the other time, I think there was only one other time where I was just like super frustrated with my teammates and I just called a timeout. But other than that, I've never done that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see how, especially coaches,
because they always remind you of how many timeouts you have.
I mean, I thought that JR was maybe playing, but I guess he wasn't. But wow. I don't see how a coach or even professional players don't know when you have a timeout and when you don't. They reinforce that all the time. I don't know who called the timeout. I have to go back to the video and go see. Mm-hmm. But for someone on the floor or on the bench to not know that you don't have a timeout and cost you a game in that way is just that's just unforgivable. Whoever that is, they gotta be traded. They gotta be. Like, they gotta be fired.
You gotta run some laps. You gotta run some laps for the team, man.
Yeah, no, exactly, exactly. I mean, I know they probably don't care because they're getting a lottery pick out of it anyway. So the more games they lose, the better position they're in. But you gotta know the situation. I mean,
yeah,
Phoenix is probably, and the sad thing is, Phoenix is probably lightweight trying to lose the game because they have the second worst record in the league. So they're trying to tank, and like, the Pelicans like, nah, hold my beer.
How do you try to lose game? That's crazy to me.
Right. Like, I can never understand it, and that's probably part of the reason why it's good that I'm not a professional athlete.
Right.
Because I can't rock with losing like that.
Yeah, nah.
But the Suns are out here giving games away. Like, some of the teams to lose to them, kind of the same thing with the Knicks. You know, they're trying to give games away, but some teams just show up and say, nah, you could take this W. Like, I just don't get how you could find yourself in a situation where, you know, you're just...
How can you say you're a basketball player?
Yeah.
Like, that's crazy to me.
You can't walk the streets. I know you can't walk the streets and, you know, in your city and try to, like, you know, wear the Suns logo on your chest.
Right, yeah.
And, I mean, I feel bad for Devin.
But if they get Zion Williamson or RJ Barrett or somebody like that, they'll be everything will be right with the world again.
You would think, but the Suns are another dysfunctional organization.
The Suns
haven't been right since Steve Nash.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you got to ask yourself, like,
Amari Stoudemire.
Yeah, exactly. Will everything be good if you get Zion Williamson, RJ Barrett? It wouldn't surprise me if they tried to trade the pick or something instead of drafting one of those two guys.
They might trade Booker.
Yeah, they might. They might. Maybe for a second round pick or something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, I just don't see. I just can't have it in my heart to try to intentionally lose a game. I would rather just not play and take a fine, to be completely honest, than go out there and intentions.
Yeah, I think that's one thing we share in common, just because we both played basketball, organized basketball, yeah. And we study the game. I think that's my favorite sport. And I think your favorite?
Definitely.
Basketball is our favorite sport, even though we do like other sports. Like, every time we link up, we talk about basketball or some sort of sports
news. Even in the
offseason. Yeah. But I think that's why that's the reason why we created, fan culture, just to, we're able to have an outlet and a platform to talk about these things and, share these things with you guys. And hopefully you guys, more episodes to come for sure. We'll get to dive deeper on these types of topics and get into other things. We definitely want to hear your opinion on the show and, start to get familiar with fan culture, because we're going to be sticking around for a little bit.
Yeah, definitely. Like Brandon said, while we're on that topic, make sure to follow us on Instagram, follow us on Twitter, at Fan Culture Pod. We're going to be doing a bunch of updates and polls and stuff on there. You don't want to miss anything that, this podcast is going to provide. Make sure to leave comments. Make sure to, send us DMs and, tell us what topics you want to hear, what you want to discuss. If you're listening exclusively from the Anchor app, make sure to leave us a voice message. Make sure to leave your applause as well. Make sure to favorite the podcast, just to give us feedback and figure out what we can do next time for you guys. Fan Culture is a podcast for you, the fan. This isn't just for us. So we want to provide, the material and the product that you guys want as well. But leave your voice messages. We can add those into the podcast. We're going to be asking some questions and stuff and want to get your feedback, and we'll definitely include those in the podcast. So just make sure to leave those voice messages, leave the comments, all that good stuff. We would greatly appreciate that. So we're just about to wrap up. The only thing we got left, we got a couple big matchups coming up over the next week, and I just want to see real quick who you got in these matchups.
Okay.
So in the NBA tomorrow, we've got the Celtics at the Sixers. Who you got in that matchup?
Where are they playing?
Playing in Philly.
I got Philly.
You got Philly?
Yeah.
Is Embiid back?
That I'm not sure. If he is, I got Philly.
I mean, for some reason, Philly shows up, except for when it's against the Celtics. Mm-hmm. So I've actually got the Celtics in that matchup.
Okay.
They're playing a little better than they were when they were struggling. They had a little bit of a resurgence. I think they're trying to get everything right for come playoff time. So I got the Celtics in that matchup on the road at Philly. Next, we got the Spurs visiting the Rockets on Friday the 22nd.
Okay.
Just remember, the Spurs have actually won 9 straight.
Okay.
They just beat Golden State yesterday. So who you got in that matchup?
Well, since knowing all that, I have the Spurs to win. That's a very long streak to have, and to have that momentum after beating Golden State, which everybody has as a favorite because of the squad they've assembled, obviously. I would choose the Spurs to beat the Houston Rockets, but who knows? James Harden could have a crazy game.
Right.
Where he drops 40, 50 points. True. You never know.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely going to be a tough game. I can see it going either way, but I'm going to go with the Spurs, and the reason being is the Spurs are finally healthy.
Are you sure it's not because you have a Spurs basketball hoodie on?
And, no, I don't think so. I don't really see a correlation.
No,
there.
Okay.
But the Spurs are peaking at the right time. Like we said, they've won 9 straight. They just beat Golden State as well. People act like the Spurs are absolute trash, but
they do this every year. They're like the New England Patriots of basketball, where who's the favorites? People start talking about their favorites in the beginning of the year, and then they just wrap it up. Come closer to playoff time,
yeah.
And then by the time you realize the kind of squad they have and like the plays they're running, then you find yourself sitting on a couch and they're in at least the quarterfinals, and you're just like, wow,
right?
That just goes to show how that organization is run. And, you know, Greg Popovich being one of the best coaches I've ever seen, they just buy into a system. You know, they can take, you know, I think there's something to be learned there. They can take a player like Bryn Forbes, who I watched at college and was a pretty decent player. But would Bryn Forbes play on another team and perform the way he is? Maybe, maybe not. But I think whoever they're having scout talent for them is doing an exceptional job, because they always find pieces no matter if they're a household name or not.
Yeah, I mean, I'll say this. I'll bet this. Even though the Spurs probably aren't going to make the finals, I'll be real about that.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you, whoever they play or whoever makes it out of the West will not play the Spurs. Because the Spurs, whoever they play, whoever makes it out of the West, whether it's Denver, whether it's Golden State, whoever it is, Houston, that series is going 7 games.
So you're calling that if the team that makes it out of the West to play whatever team in the East for the finals, you are saying that they're not going to run into the Spurs. And that's the reason
they're
why
they're not going to have to go through the Spurs. Because let's say if Denver has to play the Spurs at some point, let's say they beat them in a 7-game series in the semifinals, and then they have to go play Golden State in the Western Conference Finals.
Who, the Nuggets?
The Nuggets. Yeah, they wouldn't pull that off. And I think the same thing goes for Golden State. If they played San Antonio in the Western Conference semifinals and went 7 games, they're not beating Denver, OKC, or...
Wasn't there a year, though, that they got ran out of the gym? I forgot what year it was.
Kawhi was hurt, probably.
Was it then?
Yeah, well, actually, both of those years, because... Kawhi got hurt in game one when they were up by 23. They came back and ended up winning that game, and then they won the series 4-1. The following year, Kawhi sat out, and then they got swept by Golden State.
Okay.
So it's all been Kawhi-less, and we didn't have DeMar DeRozan at the time. That was when I was real upset with LaMarcus Aldridge. But shout out to LaMarcus Aldridge. He's playing well again.
He is.
Like I said, I don't think they're going to win a championship or anything like that, but... nonetheless, they're going to cause problems for someone in the West. I wouldn't want to play them right now.
I don't know who would.
Yeah.
I mean, the Spurs in the playoffs sound bad already. But
Last matchup we got. So next Tuesday, we have the Rockets at the Bucks. So we got two potential MVP candidates in the mix. Who wins that game? In Milwaukee.
I got the Bucks winning. Giannis is not going to let that team lose in Milwaukee to that close to playoff time.
Yeah, I definitely got the Bucks as well. Much better defensive team.
Shout out to Brooke Lopez for one, being from the Fresno area or the Central Valley. Let's just say the Central Valley. Memorial still sucks. shout out to him, because he left the Lakers and he's having an exceptional year.
Yeah, he's
been his range is crazy. And to get it done at his height is another crazy thing to see. Yeah. It opens up the floor so much for Giannis. And that's why they've had so much success, because he's so great off the dribble.
Right.
When traditionally, you know, he's players of his height and his stature are more closer to the rim.
Yeah, no, definitely.
They're redefining the mold of the big man.
Oh, for sure. So obviously we both got the Bucks winning that matchup. Who do you think has the better MVP defining performance in that game?
James, for sure.
James is probably going to try to go for 40.
Yeah.
I can see. But it wouldn't surprise me. The Bucks are such a good defensive team.
I can
see him scoring 40 on, like, you know, 15 of like 40 from the field. Or
I bet he has
like
10 free throws.
Oh, I bet you he has 15. Yeah. I mean, he's going to get to the line for sure. So, I mean, I can definitely see that happening. I definitely got the Bucks in that matchup without a doubt. So that wraps up everything that we got on the podcast. Join us next week. We're probably going to break down some more from the NCAA tournament and, you know, bracket busters and all that good stuff. Talk about some other big stories next week. Like we said, don't forget to like the podcast. Follow us on Instagram. Follow us on Twitter. Comment everywhere you can. Give us any sort of feedback. We definitely appreciate it. We love you guys as viewers. We want to keep this going. Brandon, you got anything to add?
I'm just excited to get the ball rolling finally. We've been talking about this developing for a while. And so just to get behind the microphones and have these awesome conversations and record them and save them and be able to share them with, you know, the rest of the world is really dope and exciting. And I can't wait for, you know, what comes next for us and for fan culture and what we have in store for you guys.
Yeah. Wow. We got the first one in the books and
first one down
and I am out of breath, but for many more to come. All right, y'all, peace.
See you guys.